And then we'll ask Kathy Gardner to come up and use her words today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Something about coming into this church, though I've only been here twice, I feel like I'm home. Just very warm reception, very nice congregation, and I encourage you because I see many of you stepping up to fill in or take part, and that's very encouraging because that doesn't always happen. So somebody's doing something right here. And thank you for inviting me back. It is a privilege to be here, and I do appreciate that. And let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity and blessing to come together today and worship you. Fill our hearts with your love, Lord, and a desire to please you. We praise you and glorify you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Seems appropriate on communion that the scripture should be 1 Corinthians 11, and I started with 24. I just thought that it would be good to read that beforehand. Sometimes we read that before communion. But I'm going to read that now. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." With these words, communion is presented in the Christian church. Jesus says, "Remember me. Remember my broken body. Remember my redeeming blood. Remember what I have done for you through a new covenant." We are doing what Jesus asked us to do when we share in communion. How do we remember Jesus? What are the ways God has given us to follow through with what is asked by the Son? Each person here today most likely has a special way to honor Jesus and recall how he has blessed their life. For there are many ways to follow his command. Today we'll talk about some of the ways through prayer, through praise, through worship, through song, through service and communion that we can honor and remember Jesus. We are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. We need only to look at how our bodies can heal themselves, how our hands and fingers manipulate objects to do tasks, and how our computer minds function. And we can do this to recognize the wonderful work that God did in creating each and every one of us, in creating mankind. God has given us the ability to retain thoughts and to recall them to our minds. Memory is a gift. Even in stages of memory loss, there are times when thoughts or experiences return to our minds. Remember my sister telling me when she went to a nursing home to take care of others, there was a lady named Vera. Vera was always baking bread. No matter what was happening on that day, Vera's memory told her she was baking bread, and it made her very happy to do that. Memories are wonderful. Thoughts of loved ones who have passed, thoughts of things we've done that bring us happiness and joy. Yes, some memories might bring a bit of sadness, but overall, memories can bring smiles and warmth to our hearts. Certain aromas, certain songs, certain situations can trigger our memories and bring back thoughts of years gone by. We are created to remember. Certain war heroes are honored and remembered by naming bridges or streets or buildings after them. We have created monuments to remember people who help to shape the history of our country. We give them due diligence by recognizing them to honor them after they have passed. We honor them in death as we have honored them in life. My sister passed away about a year ago. I miss her, but I have great memories of the good times that we spent together. She was such a blessing in my life. And while I was preparing her celebration of life, I contemplated if some humor would be appropriate. So after considerable thought, I decided to go ahead with it, and this is what I shared. In a way, it shows how each of us has our own unique way, or maybe not our own unique way, of remembering those who have passed on. The Steelers were going to play one of their biggest games of the year, and there was an elderly fellow who really wanted to see the game. He had never had the opportunity to witness a real live game in the stadium. So he was ecstatic when his friend offered to share a ticket with him to one of the best seats in the house. And he and his friend went into the stadium and sat down to wait for the kickoff. While he was sitting there, he happened to notice an empty seat beside him. And that was surprising, since tickets for the game were hard to come by. So as he began talking with the fellow on the other side of that seat, he said, "It's the game of the year, and I can't believe that there's an empty seat." The man replied, "Well, that's the seat my wife always sat in. We never missed a game, but she can't be with me today." And he said, "Well, could you find a friend or a relative to come along with you?" And the man answered, "Well, I tried to do that, but she passed away yesterday and everybody's at the funeral." We're directed by Scripture to remember. Scripture tells us many things that we are to remember. Exodus tells us, remember the Sabbath, keep it a holy day. First Chronicles tells us, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has pronounced. And 1 Corinthians says, the Apostle Paul said, "I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings just as I pass them on to you." In Galatians, it says we should continue to remember the poor. We use our memories to honor God. We can remember Jesus through prayer. We remember him through daily communion and conversation with him. He is our intercessor. Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for us. Jesus is our teacher, our counselor, our friend. Staying in touch with him through a spirit of prayer holds him in remembrance. We have another intercessor in our lives, even when we can't find the words to pray. Romans tells us that the Holy Spirit also intercedes for us. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that we cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Colossians says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. 1 Thessalonians says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we hear this from James, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. What do we pray about? Many, many things. We offer praise and worship to the God of the universe through prayer. We pray to confess our sins and ask God's forgiveness. We pray for others with intercessory prayer. We offer prayers of thanksgiving for God's many blessings. Our prayer life is limitless. Prayer refreshes our soul and gives us tools to help others and share our faith with them. It causes us to depend on our Father so that we can turn our concerns over to Him and have peace. Prayer maintains our communion with God. When we are lacking in our prayer life, we depend on our own strength and not on God's grace, and that takes us away from understanding God's plan for our lives. An active prayer life helps us maintain an attitude of conscious obedience to God at all times, in all circumstances. We can remember Jesus through service. We need to serve others. Jesus asked us to serve others, just as he did when he washed the disciples' feet. We serve Jesus as the Good Samaritan did, taking care of someone that we don't even know, but providing for them and making sure they're safe. And Simon served Jesus, literally carrying his cross as he went to the cross, to his crucifixion. John 12 tells us, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Matthew 25 talks about the sheep and the goats, and it's beautiful verses talking about serving others. Jesus talked about the servants and what it was to serve God. And he said, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. When asked by the righteous, when they did these things, the king replied, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers, you did for me. Service to others is service to God. Good works are the result of a heart filled with love and gratitude for God. While we do not earn our salvation through works, good works are the outward appearance of the inward transformation of our hearts. Hearts filled with compassion for others, and a desire to help them. Serving others allows God to bless us. We are taken away from concern for ourselves, and we are pleasing to God. A Christian's life is a life of service. We can remember Jesus through praise and worship. When I was young and I was pretty naive about things, I attended church to learn. And then I thought maybe I had learned something. So I thought I would attend church, and I thought I had something to share and teach others. And then as I started to mature in my faith, I realized that attending church is to worship God. It was not about me. It's all about Him. It's about telling Him how wonderful He is, being grateful for who He is, acknowledging Him as the God of all gods, Creator, Sovereign. We are encouraged to come together in worship, to seek God's presence together. Hebrews tells us, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Psalm said, it's good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. Scripture is full of words of praise to the Lord, in particular Isaiah and the Psalms. We can read through them as an offer of praise, remembering the goodness and the grace of God. Many songs tell of our love for Jesus and his love for us. What a friend we have in Jesus. We all learn in Sunday school, Jesus loves me. tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Jesus, sweetest name I know. One of the praise songs is praise is Psalm 150. And I'm just going to read a part of it. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. And it talks about praising him with cymbals and harps and trumpets. It's not a quiet praise always. It's a loud, definite praise. And it ends by saying, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And finally, we remember Jesus through communion, and that's what we're doing today. The Lord's Supper happened in a private upper room for the Passover meal on the night that Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Boy, there's a lot in that sentence when you think about it. The Passover meal was a sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared the Israelites when he struck down the Egyptians. Death was brought to all the firstborn, both men and animals, when God brought judgment on all the gods of Egypt. But houses that were prepared with the blood of the Lamb on the sides and on the tops of the door frames, as God had instructed them to do, were passed over, and no destructive plague was brought to that house. It was at that time that Jesus instructed his disciples how they should remember him during that Passover meal. He knew what was about to take place, and he was preparing a way for them to remember him. Jesus used the bread and the cup to symbolize his body and his blood. They are tangible representatives of a spiritual event. The bread reminds us as Jesus' followers of his body given as a sacrifice for our sins. The cup reminds us of his blood and its saving effects. As the Israelites were freed from Egyptian slavery, we as followers of Jesus are freed from the slavery of sin. He is our sacrificial lamb. In Corinth, the Lord's Supper was observed along with a larger meal known as the Agape or the Love Feast. Love feasts were meals that churches held after their worship together, somewhat like a potluck dinner today. The community of believers gathered in this manner to affirm their love for and the fellowship with each other. Those not getting enough food to eat probably were the poor, perhaps slaves who didn't have the freedom to arrive at the meal earlier. And this created divisions within the church. Paul taught them that the love feast was intended not to satiate hunger, but to draw them together. Paul rebuked the church in Corinth for their application of the Lord's Supper. Paul warns them that communion should be a time of sober reflection about our sin and Christ's sacrifice, as well as a time to unite the body of Christ, the church, while taking in the representation of the blood and the body of Christ. A sign or memorial of Christ already come, who by dying delivered us. His death is a special manner set before us in that ordinance by which we are reminded of it. The breaking of Christ's body as a sacrifice for us is therein brought to our remembrance by the breaking of bread. We join ourselves to him in an everlasting covenant through the cup, representing his blood. Therefore, we do this in remembrance of what he did for us. Nothing can be more nourishing and satisfying to the soul than the doctrine of Christ's making atonement for sin. We serve a special Savior, one who loves us unconditionally. Do you have communion now, or is there something? If you'll be just a little forgiving, I'm familiar with some of your ways, but and we'll do this in honor of.